The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I want to start off with a sad story here. Jan Michael Vincent, the star of Airwolf, and he was in a lot of other stuff too, but that's what I remember him from. I used to watch that show back in the 80s. And I'll tell you, when you heard this music, you knew you were in for some good action and adventure. Airwolf, man, it was about this guy, and he flew a helicopter, and the helicopter was super advanced. It could turn upside down and stuff like that. It was like a sleek version of Blue Thunder, if you remember what Blue Thunder was. But I always liked Airwolf better. Blue Thunder was pretty cool, too. But anyway, so Jan Michael Vincent, he died of a heart attack while in hospital care, apparently. So there aren't any more details than that at the moment, but that is it's too bad, you know. And anytime somebody passes on the show, you know, I get all nostalgic and upset about it and stuff like that. So I'm not going to delve into it too much here, but I did want to mention it because that was a great show and it gave me some great times watching that as a kid. Okay. Speaking of actors who died. Now, I never watched 90210. I think I've seen part of an episode, you know, at some point. And you know, to me, as even being younger back then, it seemed kind of insipid to me. But now I'm looking at people talking about it, and they're saying it was a landmark television, and I guess they really liked it a lot. I didn't care for it. I remember it being like a soap opera show and stuff, but it just wasn't my thing. But Luke Perry, either this star, one of the stars, one of the main characters on that show anyway, he died at the age of 52 from a stroke, which is, you know, just sudden, right? He was on Riverdale, which is kind of like a send-up of the Archie comics, but it's a serious, I guess it's serious version. I actually haven't seen that either. I'm sorry, Luke Perry, I didn't see any of your stuff, but I do wish that you were still here with us. So I wanted to get that, the sad news, out of the way first. So let's move on, and I guess this is sad news too, and this is a guy who probably wishes he was dead right now. This is R. Kelly is in a lot of trouble. He just got arrested for not paying his child support, which I almost don't blame the guy. I mean, he has to pay $161,000 in child support. I don't know how many kids he's got, and I don't know how much they eat, but I would think $161,000 is a little bit excessive. But, you know, these guys, they get used to a rich lifestyle, so I suppose that when they get divorced or have kids or whatever, they've got to pay out more than the average person. And, heck, maybe some people would say that that was low, considering how much money he's probably got, or supposed to have. I mean, he got arrested for it, so maybe he's not good for it anymore. And this is coming off of a big kind of a scandal that just happened. He went on a show on CBS, and apparently he's been accused of all kinds of stuff in his life. There was video of him, and then they said it wasn't him, so I guess I can't say it was him, but of him, like, peeing on somebody or something, and he was with a 13-year-old or a 15-year-old or something like that, and he's doing this interview with Gayle King, who had her own show at one point, and she asked him, have you ever been, you know, with anybody under 17? And he says no. But his head is nodding yes. It's just bobbing up and down. So I think he might be lying about that. So he also is in trouble, like I said, for not paying the child support. So he's not. Oh, and he's been accused before of holding women against their will. So just, you know, awful stuff. He's also accused of being kind of domineering against women. So, you know, no one's 100% bad, right? I'm just kidding, guys. Relax. Okay, so what's going to happen with this guy? I don't know. He's in jail right now. But I did want to play a little clip of the interview that he had with Gayle King, because this has been making the news rounds, and this has kind of brought him back into the public eye, I guess, because his album sales went up. So maybe he can afford that child support now. But here's a little clip of him on the show.
How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. Robert, I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. Y'all, I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
At this point, we briefly pause the interview to give Kelly a moment. His publicist helped calm him down.
You know, as much as I want to punish R. Kelly for the Trapped in the Closet series, I do have to feel bad for the dude, because if none of this is true, this is horrific. Now, people are calling this, but if it's true, then he kind of deserves this, right? So we don't know on the outside looking in. I don't know which way to how to root for this. But people are calling this the Brett Kavanaugh defense, which, if you remember, Brett Kavanaugh, you know, believe him or don't believe him, he got mad at his accusers, right? And so now anytime somebody gets angry with the people who are accusing him, instead of being very meek and, you know, apologetic and say, I'm sorry that you think that I did this, but I didn't actually do it, or I didn't mean to do it, or whatever, instead getting angry with him, that's a new thing now, right? They're like, well, Kavanaugh got on the Supreme Court, so maybe that's the right way to react to these things. Well, from one bad actor to another, let's take a look at an update here for Jussie Smollett. His attorney says that the 16-count indictment on him is overkill. And, you know, everybody knows that he was lying about the two white people in MAGA hats beating him up. And really, he just had a couple of his buddies, he paid him, wrote a check to him to beat him up in front of a camera. The camera was turned in the other direction, unfortunately, so they didn't get to see the beatdown. Unfortunately, because I would have liked to have seen that also. But anyway, it turned out not to be real. Now the police are saying that they don't think that the threatening letters that he had gotten while on the set of Empire were real either. So he got a letter, and on the outside it's so crudely drawn in marker. It says MAGA to Jussie Smollett. His name is spelled wrong. I guess the stereotype is that criminals are really stupid or something. But they did put two stamps on it to make sure that it got there. So they write MAGA in their handwriting. Then on the inside it says, "You will die black," and then it has an expletive for a homosexual, the F word, if you will, which is weird because that is written in cutout magazine letters. You know, like in the movies when somebody kidnaps someone, they have it in those random letters from magazines. So they write on the front of the letter, but then they write on the inside of the letter, they have it in the magazine letters, right? And then there's a really crude drawing of him getting simultaneously hung from a tree and shot with a gun that's just floating in air. Now, that's overkill. You can tell that to the lawyer. That's the overkill. It's just they hate him so bad that they're just putting every single thing against him, every possible torture against him simultaneously. So Jussie is in some trouble here, and he was seen out, actually. He had a family dinner in Chicago, so I guess he's got some people who are still talking to him. But that is where we're at right now. 16-count indictment against Jussie Smollett. More jail. More jail happening. So Chelsea Manning has been arrested. And she's been arrested because she refuses to testify against WikiLeaks. So they're holding her now in contempt of court. And the reasons that she gives for not testifying is saying that, first of all, she already gave her testimony. Next, and so Chelsea Manning, just really quick to catch anybody up who might not know who she is. She's a former Army intelligence analyst who was at the time, what was the Chelsea Manning's original name? Do you remember? Huh?
Bradley
Manning. She was a he not that long ago and revealed the really important, in my opinion, information about government activities and gave it to WikiLeaks, who then revealed it. And they had been holding her in prison for a while for divulging, you know, secrets. And under the Obama administration, they let her go. Now, they're trying to get Julian Assange. And, and not that long ago, I actually reported on the show, there was video from, so Chelsea Manning, where she lives, has video cameras inside of her apartment. And the police had gotten a call of some sort that she was not acting right, and that they were afraid that she might hurt herself. So there's this really creepy video of the police breaking into her house with guns drawn, and they sent in all-female officers. So that was kind of weird. And we know this because she uploaded this to her Twitter page so people could see it. So weird stuff going on there. Now, this grand jury process, she says, prosecutors have granted her immunity for a testimony which eliminates her ability to invoke her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And also, she says that this grand jury process is being done in secret, and so she morally objects to the process of what they're trying to do to get the Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, the website that divulges all kinds of secrets of different countries, different governments. So she's been found in contempt of court, and they put her away, man. So they say that after the hearing that the detention order can be appealed, but didn't comment on whether such an appeal would be filed. So at this point, she is sort of being indefinitely held. She says that she's got medical issues and that there are documented issues of jails and prisons providing inadequate medical care for transgender inmates. And she's saying that her one-bedroom apartment would be sufficient for confinement, and that they don't have to, like, you know, put her away. You know, it's touching on you have to be careful with this kind of stuff because, in my opinion, it touches on political imprisonment. You know, somebody's done something that the government doesn't like, and then you find reasons to kind of put them away. So I hope that they release her, and that everyone's okay. I just want everyone to be okay, right? Now, something that I don't think is okay is that Donald Trump is going to stay in Syria after all. Now, I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that this was going to happen. You know, you got John Bolton up there. You got too many people talking in his ear saying we need to keep doing war. We need to keep, you know, having war. We're in Syria. When Obama was in office, they tried to get into Syria, and the American people, both Republicans and Democrats, were completely against it. They said, no, we don't need another Iraq. We do not want to go to Syria. And they prevented them from going into Syria. And you know what? Obama went into Syria anyway. So now we've got troops in Syria. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is unconstitutional. And it's so wrong. Because the Constitution very clearly, plainly says that you do not go to war without a declaration of war. You can't go there. It's illegal, guys. I can't understand how they're able to do this, and there's no... Where's Congress on this? Shouldn't Congress be screaming bloody murder that we are unconstitutionally in other countries? But they don't. They've abdicated. They're fine with it. They must just make so much money from the military-industrial complex, as they say, you know. They just must make so much money off of this stuff that they just don't care. But, I mean, these are American citizens that are going off to war, undeclared war, and dying, you know. I mean, it's just crazy to me that this is possible. So Trump said, was it a month ago, 2 months ago, we're getting out of Syria, total, you know, drawdown. Everyone's coming home. And the Democrats of all people went crazy. And they're like, no, Trump's doing it because of Putin. So now what? Now he's staying because of Putin? You know, we're doing the same thing in Venezuela. And how do you justify that? The Democrats want Trump to continue war. The Democrats are supposed to be the party of peace. So the neocons must be loving this, you know. You've got the progressive left, which is rising up, and they're the only ones, it seems, that are speaking against this, and the far right, unbelievably. But the neocons, the establishment, I guess you could say, love this complete and total never-ending war. Not only are we staying in Syria, but we're also staying in Afghanistan. So he also said we're going to pull out of that. But nope. We're still in Afghanistan. He is going to draw down the troops from 14,000, I think, to 7,000. But he says it's important to maintain presence in these countries. And it's what a waste of money, a waste of life, a waste of goodwill. You know, people know that America is doing this stuff. And it just makes us look so bad. I wish people would come to their senses, you know. Now, something that is unfair that's happening to Trump, and you know that there's something like that every single week, right? Remember Kraft, Robert Kraft, I think his name, I don't follow football, but he's a Patriots owner. And he was caught on camera, I still have to say allegedly, paying for sex from women who were supposedly trafficked. And he watched the Super Bowl with Donald Trump, right? So now the news is trying to pull Trump into this scandal. And here's the thing. The founder of that massage parlor, what's her name? She has the same name as a director, Cindy Yang. Li Yang is the name of this. She founded the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. Now, she sold it like 4 or 6 years ago or something like that. So she sold it off a while back. But she contributes money to Republicans. And so she has pictures of herself with, I think, Donald Trump and a whole bunch of other Republicans here and a Fox News commentator. And so, yeah, there she is with Donald Trump. Okay, so the left is having a field day with this, which, I mean, let's be honest. If the shoe was on the other foot, the conservatives would be having a field day with it. Right? I mean, I really can't blame them for posting all these pictures and just having a good time of showing Donald Trump and other Republicans with the founder of what has at least become a sex trafficking coven, right? So the optics are bad. It sucks. And I think it's really funny because they're trying to tie him into this. And I'm sure that a lot of people would be angry. But I can't believe that Donald Trump has anything to do with the operation Pimp Donald Trump. I can't believe that he has anything to do with the operation of these brothels or anything like that. So I'm not concerned about it being a serious story, but it's embarrassing. Okay, let's admit it. It's embarrassing. And that's where we're at with that. Now, something that is annoying to me is that a lot of Democrats are trying to tie it into Pizzagate, which, if you ever want to go down the Pizzagate rabbit hole, you can do that. But I would talk more about it, but it seems like any media outlet that ever actually looked at that story seriously has been taken down and has been just annihilated one way or the other. And so I'm not going to talk about it. You can go Google it and figure out whatever resources there are. You know, as soon as something comes up, they take it away. And I don't know. It might be a case of thou doth protesteth too much. But yeah, they're trying to relate it to Pizzagate, and it's definitely not the same thing. In my opinion, it's not the same thing. I don't know. Maybe they'll find some links. Who knows what these people with power do? But I don't think it's anything at all, other than a really funny and embarrassing story. Speaking of embarrassments, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez apparently has been caught doing some campaign finance shenanigans, breaking campaign finance laws. And I think this is like her fourth case of doing it. So it looks like the Republicans are trying to get her, and I don't think it's going to get any traction because the news media is ignoring it completely. I wish I could get more into specifics of exactly what's happened, but I can't find any stories that are really clear-cut on this. Like I said, the mainstream news is not going to report any of this stuff. And they're really circling the wagons around her, which is just kind of shocking to me, because I know that a lot of the establishment do not like her. But probably what's happening is that everybody has broken campaign finance laws in one way or another, and so they're probably just trying to make it where, hey, there's nothing to see here, just go away, and then that way nobody else gets in trouble for this probably very common thing that I'm sure everybody does. Now, one more thing before we take off here, which is the sentencing of the Trump gang, right? All these people that used to hang around Donald Trump, and now they're gone, and they got indicted by, Mueller and his team. And the sentencing that they've been given has been relatively light. So Manafort ended up with 48 months, but they do say that he's going to get a future sentencing and that they're going to throw the book at him there. So I doubt it because, you know, he was pretty, he played ball. As did Cohen, and Cohen's sentence is delayed for like 7 months or something like that. So now he gets to run around and talk trash about Donald Trump and do whatever damage he's able to do. And I have a feeling that depending on the amount of damage that he's able to do to Trump, I would not be surprised if that's in direct proportion to the amount of what his sentence ends up being. But anyway, he's got like a delayed sentence. Is that crazy? But, you know, that's our justice system nowadays, and that's the world that we live in. So guys, stay out there. Keep owning the libs, as they say. Keep your head up. They're never going to find any Russian collusion. Everything is coming up roses, and I think we are in good shape. And that's it for this week. So the sun is shining. You know, spring is here.